From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Get the day right. It's calling it Labor Day, big special for downtown. I hope everybody can put up with the warplanes flying over the city. We're going to feature today, we want to talk to Marceline, who is with the International Women's Federation for Democracy and Peace, and they champion the cause of Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza. And it's very vital we know the story of her efforts on behalf of democracy in Rwanda. This show pays a lot of attention to this subject. I believe we're joined by Marceline. Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you.
It's very good to be talking to you. Victoire has become a very respected figure for standing up for democracy, doing it in a way that is nonviolent, but demanding rights for Rwandans. And, of course, she's focus that by attempting to form a party and attempting to run for president, all of which has been obstructed by the current government. Can you talk about some of the more urgent matters that she is faced with today? She still is in Rwanda. She has encountered a number of problems. To me, the most recent was that the president has begun to speak of her in a fashion that has aroused international concern. Could you talk about that?
Oh, yes. The International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace is very concerned about the threats that were pronounced by the president of the republic himself, Mr. Kagame, towards Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza. In fact, as you said, if Africa could have women like Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza, I think it will be very lucky. And then, as you saw our press release, we are advocating for her because we are convinced and we believe that her life may be in danger, mm-hmm. because taking the statements done by the president himself, and we know that there in Rwanda, what is said by the president becomes almost a law to be followed by the population. Mm-hmm. We are very concerned that she may be in danger. Mm-hmm. For example, the president himself called her a small woman of a genocidaire. Those are words that can't be pronounced by a president. And he also mocked her for believing that she's a political opponent who wants to be the president of Rwanda. Yet the Rwandan constitution guarantees every Rwandan, that he or she has the chance to apply for the highest office. But here the president seems to belittle her. But we do know her value and what she stands for. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very concerned about her security, about her, when the president said the words like these, he said during the campaign before the elections of July 15, we have serious concerns about her security. And at the time, he talked about crossing a red line. And we already know that the president, when he talked about crossing the red line, they succeeded in killing Senda Shonga, who is the former minister of internal affairs, who was living in Nairobi, and the president said that he had crossed the red line, and he has used the same words for Victoire. So we are appealing to, we are calling the international community to really keep a close eye on the security of Victoire.
Yes, and
thank you.
And it's been your point has been reinforced by the victory she won in the East African Court, right, where they were, she raised the question of her being permitted to have a party registered and all that, and they affirmed her rights. The Rwandan government ignored that court, but they did. That was their finding, right?
Yes. The Rwandan government, when the courts, Rwandan courts, condemned the Victoire to 15 years of imprisonment, she contacted the African Court for People's Rights, and she won the case. That jurisdiction, which is above African individual jurisdictions, ruled that Victoire didn't violate in any law in Rwanda. The Rwandan government was condemned to pay her a fine of some hundreds, I think, thousands dollars, but she has never got that money. And the problem is that the Rwanda doesn't abide by the rulings of the courts. It is part of that is very strange to be part of a court, to be part of the African Union, and do not abide by the decisions which come from those institutions.
Yeah, it's very telling that she has made this progress, and that people understand now who she is and the values she stands for. She, among the other problems that she has faced, is that they are now her civil rights in the sense of being able to travel. She has a family mostly in Europe, and I understand that her husband is ill, and she also has an elderly mother, and the Rwandan government is not permitting her to travel. Is that right?
Yes, it's right, and I think that since she was out of prison, she never got her papers back. I mean, passport and so on. And every time she wants to travel, she had to apply to the president. I think to the office of the president to have the permission or to allow her to travel. Mm-hmm. But any time she has asked for that, she never got any. The government didn't reply to her request. So her husband is really sick, and her mother, as you said, she's very old. And recently, I don't know if you learned it, there was arson, which is... Her house was set on fire, and it is believed that maybe it may be criminal, but the police and the authorities there in the Netherlands have not ruled yet if it is. They don't know the culprits. They don't know who did that. But her mother is now in a hospital, and she is going. I think she is under surgery to restore her skin and so on, because she was severely burnt during when her house was set on fire, some 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that is, yeah. And there's a history of this, and indeed the president himself, Paul Kagame, has said that he doesn't care where anyone is in the world, that he reserves the right to do something. As we know, he's attempted to assassinate people, and some have been assassinated who are living abroad. In South Africa, particularly, there was several cases there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you also know the case of Paul Rusesabagina, who was abducted while he was traveling. You also there is a row now between the Rwandan government and the Belgian government, because Belgium refused to accredit the ambassador, or which was proposed by Rwanda, because that same ambassador was believed to overview the killings in South Africa. So he was proposed to Belgium, and Belgium refused him, and now there is a war between the two countries. And as you know, there are many documents showing that Rwanda has got many operatives in different countries which can assassinate any time.
This matter of an open process, which they you know, in the capitals of the West, Ottawa, Paris, London, Washington, they talk about Rwanda as if it is a functioning democracy, and they like to say such things as they have 50% women represented in many walks of life, particularly the parliament, but at the same time, they won't let a woman run for president.
Yeah, all those women.
And those women, by the way, those women don't say anything. The ones who are, they say are 50% of the power.
Yes, those women in the parliament are like flowers to show the world that he abides by the principles of gender equality, but they have no word, they have nothing to say. And the example is that other women are ill-treated, and they don't defend them. For example, we already have the case of Victoire Ingabire. There is also the case of Odiane Rwigara, who also tried to run for president in 217 elections, and who didn't succeed, and who was put in prison. So those ladies who are in parliament don't defend their colleagues. And doing politics is not a crime. But then in Rwanda, it is difficult when you don't do the official line of the government.
Yeah, you must be take some encouragement from the growing recognition of the reality. There was a period, particularly under the Conservative Party of Britain, that they had a plan to cooperate with Rwanda to remove African refugees to Rwanda, and that has now seemed to be, I think the new government has declared they're not going to do that at all. You must find that at least, that's an encouraging development, isn't it?
Yes, I think that asylum deal between the former UK government together with Rwanda shed a light on how Rwanda is undemocratic because many members of parliament in the UK had the time to really learn what is said in the country, and we think that they now know what is Rwanda. And many people had written on asylum or on those scheme that Rwanda wants to present as it wants to present itself as a safe country. But yet there had been refugees coming from Israel sent there. Many of them had come back to Europe or had fled the country, and that was not known. But the UK deal had shed some light on the true nature of the country.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that the International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace has really been doing excellent work. People, you can go online to RFDP and find publication articles and analysis and some of the legal work done around the case of Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza. And again, it's RIFDP. It's quite easy to find, and I hope people will support it. Marceline, thank you very, very much. You've been a good guest. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for calling us.
Okay, we look to forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, welcome. Bye.
This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I think we have a little music. Might be the Weavers. It might be. You never know what it's going to be coming up.